Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Gronkowski is in the left slot. Brady in the shotgun. Green Ellis to his right. Snap to Brady. Play action fake. Steps up. Fires up the field. Wide open across the 30. 25 to the 20. The right side of the 15. And inside the 15-yard line. Touchdown. All the way down and into the end zone. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepard.
All right, kiddies, are you ready for some football, baby? Some conference championship action. Here we go. Man, I wish the game was going to start right now. I think we all feel that way. I think we all felt that way after Saturday / Sunday morning about 12 midnight when all the game was over and you started to wind down. You want to play the next day and just get it over and, you know, just get to it. But, man, you got to wait all this time. It seems like forever. And, man, Sunday at 3 o'clock cannot get here fast enough, probably more like 3:15 or 3:17 by the time they kick it off. But I am jacked and pumped, baby. Welcome to the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. I'm here until 6 o'clock tonight. And, man, this one is going to be all about you guys. I do have a guest or two coming up today. Coming up in the first hour, I believe, will be John Eisenberg of the CSNBaltimore.com. He will join me, and I might have a couple of surprise guests coming up later on in the show as well. But certainly you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. Already got a few. And Facebook me as well. Already got a few of those to read. And, of course, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Give me your predictions on what do you think is going to happen in both conference championship games, Patriots and Ravens here in Foxborough and out in San Fran. Of course, the San Francisco 49ers hosting the New York Football Giants. I'm going to wait till 5:30 to give my official picks and scores and my Xbox picks as well, which I simulated both games last night again. And I'll tell you my simulations. I said there were a couple out earlier that I saw, and one favored the Patriots, one didn't. One was 34-24 Patriots. The other one was 24-7 Baltimore. I'll save these scores around 5:30 or so. But I will tell you this, is that Xbox, on my simulated Xbox scores are 7-1, for whatever that's worth. Now to business. To business. Lots going on today, obviously. First of all, it's like everybody on the planet is here at this parking lot today because of some kind of convention going on or some kind of a show they have here occasionally. Top that with all the national media from all over the country and all over the world. Some of you are here. It's crazy around Patriot Place and around here today. Great atmosphere. Patriots and Baltimore Ravens. And I feel it's just becoming so frustrating to turn on the television and see a different reporter every single day embarrass himself worse than the last one. And today's embarrassment comes from Sal Palantonio of ESPN, who is previewing the Patriots-Ravens down in Baltimore. And once again, doesn't even acknowledge 2010, but brings up 2009. I have yet to see, honest to God, I'm not lying, I have yet to see a national person or a national show on ESPN and NFL Network. Because locally on Comcast, I think they brought up 2010. I think Troy Brown has brought it up. Ty Law and others, I think, have brought it up, as they should. I still have, no one has explained it to me. I don't know how these people are not challenged nationally. I don't understand how the 2010 game doesn't come up more often. It should come up more often than 2009. As I've said time and time again, Welker, Hernandez, and Gronkowski did not play in 2009. They were there in 2010. Now, as I've said, again, time and time, what happened in 2009 is irrelevant. What happened in 2010, for the most part, is irrelevant. But at least it's a lot closer to what this team is now. And that was when Gronkowski and Hernandez were young, I mean, early on in their rookie careers and still learning the system. But just quickly going back over that box score, which the Patriots won, by the way, 23-20. And like I said, the most impressive thing is there were five or six times in a row, I believe it was six times in a row, between the late in the second half and into overtime, because that game went into the last 90 seconds of overtime before the Patriots won 23-20. They held the Ravens to five or six straight three and outs. That was huge in that game. Huge. Now, Brady in that game threw for one touchdown and actually threw two interceptions. Flacco threw for two touchdowns and no picks. Flacco was 27 of 35 for 285 yards. Brady was 27 of 44 for 292 yards. What's interesting in that game as well is that the Patriots outrushed Baltimore in that game. Ray Rice didn't have a great game in that one. He had 28 carries for 88 yards. McClain had 7 yards on three carries. Flacco had, scrambled for 5 yards on two carries. The Patriots got 63 yards out of Woodhead, 22 out of Tate on an end-around. Green Ellis rushed for 20. Hernandez had an end-around for 18, and Morris had 3. Brady had 1. But they still outrushed. Baltimore in that one. And as I said last week, people underestimate the Patriots running game because they just, I heard somebody last week say, well, you know, it's so dominantly passing in that game against Denver. And I don't know what you were looking at because the Patriots passed the ball 34 times last week against Denver and rushed the ball 30 times. They rushed it for 146 yards. And in regarding, you know, the respect factor about Flacco, please, let me tell you something who's not getting any respect or no one's talking about them, and they better. And that's the law firm, that's Danny Woodhead, and that's Ridley. It's another aspect of this game that nobody's talking about. And you saw last week Arian Foster and company ran with the ball right down the Ravens' throats. And this Patriot offensive line is as good as anyone in the league. Now, I'm not saying they're gonna outrush the Ravens, although I wouldn't be shocked, to be honest with you, on a combination of things. And depending how the game goes, especially if the Patriots jump out to a lead here. But those guys are not getting any kind of, to me, not a lot of respect and not a lot of, nobody's talking about them, which I think they, I like that, to be honest with you. But mark my words, law firm and Woodhead and Ridley are going to have an impact on this game. They had an impact last week. A quiet one, but it had an impact. About 146 yards for a team, right? That's pretty good. Remember how great Denver's defense, remember people using the word great regarding Denver's defense or very good, except for me, and then all of a sudden the Patriots win by 35 and how that changed overnight, that it wasn't very good. Now, I told you they were fraudulent to begin with. I said they were okay, but they were bottom third in points allowed. And I looked at the opposition they went up against, and of course the numbers looked better, but nobody wanted to hear that. So many aspects of this game are being overlooked by the national nitwits. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that dope in Baltimore, what's his name, Forrester? Is that his name? He's done WNTS, whatever it is. And, picking the Ravens 37-3. I mean, it's just foolish. Foolish. Stupid. Stupid. If anybody's going to win by that score, it'd be the Patriots. And I'm not picking that score. I'm not even close to that score. But if we're going to pick that score for a team to win, it would be the other way around, my friend. Sorry. I don't know what you're smoking or what you're snorting or whatever it is, but you're delusional if you think that 37-3 is going to happen with the Ravens on top of that. The most points anybody has scored against the Patriots here at home this year was the Giants at 24. The Patriots had the lead in that game late, and, you know, it was Sergio Brown made that, and it was the right call. I mean, it was just a horrible pass interference call against Brown. It was a horrible play. I think it led to a 39-yard completion when I think it would have been third down and long. That was a huge play in that game because that allowed then it just gave the Giants that extra oomph that they needed in that game. But that was way back. And they haven't lost since. Have not lost since. But Baltimore scoring 37 points against anybody is ridiculous. Just doesn't happen all that often. In fact, let's see if it's happened this year. Let's see. Game one, no. Game two, no. Oh, they score 37 at St. Louis, please. That's when that's the game where Jackson and Bradford didn't play. Let's see. Nope. So they did score 37 once this year at St. Louis when they had nobody on the team. And if you look at Baltimore's schedule and you look at the offensive they have played, you will find that they, as far as their points allowed stuff goes, fraudulent. Look at the offenses they've gone up against. Just not very good. Just not very good. I mean, you give them the credit for the two wins against Pittsburgh. The first game was a debacle. That was just a debacle. I don't even count what happened opening day, September 11th. But they had a nice comeback when Pittsburgh really had that game on November 6th. They had it, and they let the Ravens back in it. But there's some. I mean, this team lost at Jacksonville. They lost at Seattle. And they got Cleveland twice. I mean, it's not like they blew them out twice either. They didn't. They had Cincinnati, you know, okay offenses. Nothing spectacular there. San Francisco, you know, with even though they put up those points against back on November 24th, that was not San Francisco's game. It's just, you know, I'm just not overly impressed. I'm really not. It's very similar to me last week with San Francisco going up against New Orleans. People were thinking that San Francisco's great defense was going to do this. They didn't do anything. The Saints fumbled the ball three times, five turnovers. They still passed for 463 yards on them, and it still took a miracle. Not a miracle. I would say it's a miracle. It took some great plays by Smith and Vate and Davis to pull that game out. But towards the end of that game, the Saints had touchdowns of, I think, 44 and 62 yards. That was late in the game. Don't talk to me about San Francisco's defense. I don't want to hear it. Patriots-Ravens, I know the national media is trying to spin it like massive offense against massive defense. It's just not that. That's just not the case. If they're making it sound like it's the Patriots of 07 versus the 85 Bears, it's not. Not even close. Not even close. That doesn't mean I don't respect the Ravens, and certainly you have to be aware. And I think what's going to be really important this week is the pressure up the middle. That's how everybody knows. That's how you, and I love when people, it's such an obvious thing, but it's how you get to any quarterback. You got to pressure up the middle. I'm not worried so much about the outside edges because I think the offensive line has done a great job this year against some great competition. We talked about it time and time again. Matt Light, and now you got Vollmer. See, if he's back out there, you got Solder and Vollmer out there. That's just unbelievable. So, I think the Mankins, Connolly, and Waters, I think those three guys are going to have the biggest responsibility this week stopping the Ravens because of Nada, Red, and Cody, those guys up front. And, of course, Terrell Suggs is always a threat, although he disappeared last week. And he has disappeared in other games as well. I'm still stunned at the fact that they could not sack Yates last week. So, in my opinion, Baltimore's only chance of keeping this one, of staying in this game, and I believe my score is not going to be the Patriots by 20 or 30 or anything like that. I'm saying for the Ravens to win this game, they have got to, they're going to have to put pressure up the middle. I just don't see it. They're going to have to put pressure up the middle and hope to hell that Brady doesn't find, which he's great at, finding the open man. And very few teams have been able to do it. I mean, the Giants did it back in 07 in the Super Bowl a little bit, even though they still were trailing in that. They did a great job. But remember, still trailing with 90 seconds to go before Hobbs fell down and all the other crap that happened. But even this team is a lot different than that one. Teams are just not used to seeing guys like Hernandez, so versatile. Gronkowski, Welker, Branch, and you throw in the sneaky running game that the Patriots have. I just think the Ravens are going to be in for a long day. I'm not saying Baltimore won't make plays, some plays here or there. I'm sure they will. But I got to be honest with you. I am not overly impressed. I'm really not. They have some big names out there that, you know, have big-time reputations, and a few of them are going to be in the Hall of Fame, no doubt. But they have not faced an offense like this all year, not even close, with the personnel that they are going to go up against. And I'm telling you right now, do not underestimate the Patriots' running game in this coming AFC Championship game. Do not underestimate it. Don't think Bill Belichick for a second didn't see Arian Foster. And I know he's one of the best backs in the league, but there were some gaping holes that the Houston's offensive line opened up. And the Patriots have just as good, if not better, offensive line than Houston does, in my opinion. So do not be fooled. And do not count out this Patriot running attack as having some kind of an effect. And if that happens, if they start doing to Baltimore what Houston did, running the ball, Well, now you're talking. Then you're talking. It could be disgusting for the Ravens at the end. And I still think you have to factor in what is happening down in Baltimore with the mentality of that football team, with the Ed Reed, with Flacco doubting himself, with Ray Rice saying, I have to have 25 touches to be fair about it, be competitive. I have to have 25 touches. I'm not saying he's not right, but, you know, the last time they played, last year, the one nobody wants to talk about, Rice had 28 touches rushing the ball. And he had 8 receptions in that game as well. So he touched the ball 33 times in that game. 8 receptions for 38 yards and 28. So 36 touches he had. 28 rushes for 88 yards. Not great. And caught 8 passes out of the backfield, long of 11 for 38 yards. So that's 36 touches by Rice last year, and they still lost. So, you know, we can do this all day with numbers, but you can't. 2009 is absolutely, without a doubt, unequivocally irrelevant. It makes no sense to bring up that game any more than would make when the Patriots beat them when Vinny Testaverde was the quarterback, when Parcells. It makes no sense to bring up those games. And you can't keep saying, well, that was a playoff game and last year wasn't. You can't do that. You have to factor in that there were 3 guys on that team last year for the Patriots that did not play in 2009. That is the deciding factor. I'm sorry. The rest of it doesn't mean a damn thing. And as I said, it was Deion Branch that had the big game, back 98 yards and a touchdown. So if you want to start analyzing and doing all that stuff and going crazy, you know, if the Patriots could put up 23 with puppies like Hernandez and Gronk and Branch's first game back, I could play that game and say, well, if they put up 23 in that game, then you know they're going to put up at least 30 in this one. But I'm not saying I'm going there. All right, quick break, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. And then email me, webradio at patriots.com. Call me on the Ace and Facebook me as well. And when we come back, John Eisenberg from CSN Baltimore going to join us. Join me right here on the Pete Shepard Show on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, here he's doing live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. It's Conference Championship Week, and we're talking about it here. Give me a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And let's head there right now and check in with our first guest of the day. It's John Eisenberg from CSN Baltimore. Hey, John, it's Pete here in Foxborough. How are you doing, my friend? Thanks for taking a few minutes.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let me ask you right off the bat today, internally, what's it like down there in the locker room today as opposed to yesterday?
Well, there appears to have been a lot of kiss and make up or whatever there was beforehand. Everything seems fine today, honestly. The period of practice where the reporters allowed to watch, Flacco and Ed Reed came out together, and they were sort of playfully cursing each other, obviously playing it up for a laugh, and everybody was laughing. And I think they pretty much moved on from that. It was a very spirited 20 minutes that I saw, and they're pretty fired up, and it's a pretty loose group, and it appears that whole issue is sort of over.
Did that was that surprising to you how it all played out? I know Ed doesn't really say a lot during the regular season. A lot of players talk a lot. He's not one really over the years that I remember that says a whole heck of a lot. I was surprised that he went on serious and said the things he did. Now, I know it didn't sound malicious. I know he said recently, we kind of figured it out. He's doing it for motivational tactics and that kind of a thing, but I just don't understand during a championship week, John. I mean, is it overblown? Is there really a place for it? I just think you don't need that. You got other distractions to deal with, especially when you're going on the road. Why do this now?
Well, there's no question that it was poorly timed. It was not Ed Reed's shining hour, and the Ravens weren't very happy about it. And it did cause a little bit of ruffling of the feathers internally. I mean, Flacco admitted he was sort of caught off guard. John Harbaugh had to sit down with Ed, and there's all sorts of next day sort of dealing with it, and it was very poorly timed, and the reality is Ed Reed is pretty much in some respects sort of an independent contractor within that locker room. I mean, he is a very sort of unusual guy, sort of unpredictable, just like he is on the field, and the Ravens don't really know what he's going to say or do sometimes, and this is one of those cases where he's a very bright guy, he's insightful, and he says things. Sometimes it's out of left field, and in this case, that's exactly what happened. It was not the best timing at all, and it didn't help things one bit.
Well, I think with national media and even some of the local media in both states, both down your area and up here as well, I think too much emphasis is being placed a lot of this on tremendous offense versus tremendous defense. I mean, I respect a lot of those Ravens. I really do. I mean, they're Hall of Fame caliber several players. There's no doubt about it. But this is not the defense of 2000 or 4 years ago. I think we all know that. It's a little bit different. And you look at the offenses, for the most part, that they have faced all year. They have not faced an offense like this New England team, and that's where I have my problem with people keep bringing up 2009, which is completely irrelevant to this game. And I think the 2010 game is irrelevant that the Patriots won, but at least in that game, you had three players who did not play in 09, Welker, Gronk, and Hernandez, as you know. So I'm wondering what your take on what's going to happen is and how you feel the Ravens are going to be, if they can, to stop the weapons of the Patriots.
Well, I don't think they're going to stop the weapons. I mean, I think that I
could
agree more that, I mean, this is a 60-minute game with offenses and defenses on both sides. And the Ravens' defense, it's a pretty good unit. But, if you watch the Houston game, you saw they gave up quite a bit on the run, you know, against the run. They've been vulnerable against some really good passing attacks like San Diego tore them up on Sunday Night Football. Yep. And I think they're going to give up some yards, and they're going to give up points. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that they're going to stop Tom Brady. I think the whole goal is to slow him down a little, maybe keep the game in the 20s, the high 20s, and score 28 and try to win it, you know, by like one. I think that's their goal. They do feel like their offense, you know, has didn't have a great game against Houston at all, but they do have Ray Rice, who led the NFL in yards from scrimmage. And Flacco is actually, you know, throws a pretty good deep ball. They've had some success doing that this year, and they feel like they're going to be able to move the ball. They do have some weapons. So I see the game. I mean, what happens when it's flipped and it's the Patriots' D against the Ravens' offense is equally important and decisive. That could be the decisive matchup there. So, you know, it's definitely both sides of the ball, and the Ravens are shooting for a game in the 20s.
No, I agree, and it's always a chess match. And what about the mentality of Joe Flacco right now, despite what happened with Ed Reed, even before that, going into this game this year? I don't think a lot of people realize too he fumbled the ball 10 times this year, and I think he lost the majority of them. I mean, is this his worst year he's had really overall so far?
It's been an interesting year for Joe. He did. What happened was, early in the year, I mean, the Ravens, when they lost to Pittsburgh last year, they made the decision that just as a team, they were not explosive enough at all. So they really made an attempt to become more explosive offensively. They drafted Torrey Smith in the second round. They traded for Lee Evans. And they said, you know, we have got to challenge defenses more, which Ozzie Newsome made that call. And, you know, he was 100% correct. And so they came out early in the season throwing the ball a lot. And much more. And there were games where Ray Rice was barely seen and heard from. It was very interesting. And this whole philosophy worked on some days and did not work on other days. And so that's why you saw this inconsistency. And that's why Flacco's passing percentage went down. There was a game in Seattle in November where Flacco threw the ball 52 times. Ray Rice had 5 carries. Just a ridiculous game.
Yep.
And the Ravens lost. And it was after that game where internally there was some sit downs and a lot of conversation. It was like, we have got to get back to what we do best. It's all fine and good to really be throwing the ball around, which is what Flacco wanted, by the way. It's all well and good to be doing this, but we have got to go. We are crazy not to have the ball in Ray Rice's hands. And so they made much more of a focused effort to do that. Now down the stretch, Flacco, he was averaging about 20, 25 attempts a game. His quarterback rating was over 100 in the majority of his games. Worked much better in that role. So it's sort of been a tale of two seasons. And, you know, whenever the Ravens get crazy, start throwing the ball around, things don't go their way. And you know, that's the whole thing is to stay away from that. And that's hurt Flacco's numbers. So it's been kind of a weird year for him is the best way to put it.
Difficulties on the road this year for the Ravens, 4-4. And I had a colleague of yours on from down, I'm sure you know him from the Carroll County Times, Aaron Wilson. He was a guest of mine yesterday. And he claimed that a lot of these road games, particularly pointed out San Diego and Jacksonville, among others, in Seattle, that this team just wasn't entirely focused. And he wasn't so sure. The way he presented it was, you know, these guys partying a little too much or just not taking the game seriously. But he absolutely said there was a focus problem in some of these road games.
I would agree with that. You know, I don't know if they're partying too much. I can't speak to that. It was definitely, I mean, the San Diego game, you know, they're out there 48 hours ahead of time. It was about 75 degrees. It was beautiful. You looked out, you saw some players, you know, sitting by the pool. It's a nice little break.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
From Baltimore in December. And then the game kicked off, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, we've got to go play this game. And, that, You saw how that went. So, yeah, I think there was a focus issue for sure. They haven't really had road problems under Harbaugh until this year. So, you know, and it is a veteran team, so you wouldn't expect that. It was a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, the flip side of it is they've gone on the road and won in the playoffs in each of the last 3 years. They're very used to going on the road in the playoffs. And that setting on Sunday won't bother them.
I mean, every year is its own separate entity in the NFL, every team the same. I never get caught up in trends and that kind of thing. But I've been saying this for the last 4 or 5 weeks, not just this week. This Baltimore Raven team reminds me actually a lot of the 2009 Patriots in a lot of ways. Where Welker went, not that they've had the same kind of major injury problem, but at the end, you know, Welker went down in that game against Houston and they were just deflated. But that Patriots team had struggled on the road. They struggled against some big-time offenses. New Orleans lit them up one night on Monday Night Football. That was insane. They lost some close games on the road that they probably should have won just by getting some first downs. I see a lot of similarities between this Ravens team, actually, and that 2009 Patriot team. I don't know how you feel.
That's an interesting comparison. I haven't thought about that. That was definitely a flawed team, the 2009 Patriots, and, you know, the Ravens' flaws are obvious. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's not, you know, the Ravens, this was a strange year in the NFL, I felt like, mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was a lockout or what. There's a lot of inconsistency, and, you know, everybody played some bad games. Look, Green Bay came at a really bad time.
Yes, it did.
But, you know, the Ravens had some really, really bad games. And it leaves the impression that they're vulnerable. And, you know, they may well be. I mean, they may go up there and they just may not be able to cover those guys. You know, that is one scenario that could play out on Sunday. The Ravens just will not be able to cover these guys. It's possible. We've already seen that this year. You know, on the flip side of it is, and there's just no telling, is, you know, yeah, they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit and they can maybe make some stops on third downs, which is what it will come down to. And there's just no telling, but, you know, it's far from a perfect team coming up there.
And Ray Rice saying yesterday, again, using it's difficult because around here you just don't hear a lot of players using I need, I want. So when I hear Ray Rice, I understand, and I think he's 100% correct. When he says yesterday, I need to get at least 25 touches to make this offense fairly competitive, does that go over? I mean, he's right. We all know he's right. I mean, the last time they played the Patriots, he had 36 touches between running and catching the ball. But he's probably right. But, again, I see, like, to me, that's like a red flag going up. I'm not sure I want to hear that if I'm in that locker room with my teammates. I don't know. It just seems like whatever's best for the team at the time is what we should do instead of if I don't get 25 touches, we're not going to win.
Well, I'll tell you where that's coming from is we've been down that road here this year. We've watched it, and listen, it was after that Seattle game.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it was the Jacksonville game where they lost the Monday Night Football.
Yeah, 12-7.
Worst performance I think I've ever seen from the Ravens. They didn't have a first down for 39 minutes, and Jacksonville just handed the ball to Maurice Jones-Drew over and over again. Rice, again, very few touches on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And after the game, Terrell Suggs said, you know, what are we doing here? He said, you know, we've got our horse. We need to feed him. And he said, you know, we need to run the ball. We need to give the ball to Ray. And Ray Lewis came out and said the same thing. So there are these team leaders on the other side of the ball saying that. I think that Ray Rice has felt empowered to a degree by that. And plus, he's right. I mean, the numbers have really borne it out. When he gets his carries, they're a lot better off. And as I was saying earlier, when they throw the ball around, they don't fare as well. So, yeah, I mean, it might sound bad, but you know what? They don't have any issues with whether Ray Rice is a team guy. He's very much one, and he's a leader. And so I don't think they're too worried about the way. I understand where you're coming from on what mm-hmm. it sounds like, but they do sort of understand where Ray is coming from entirely, and they agree with him.
A couple more things before I let you go. Again, we're speaking with Joe Eisenberg from CSN Baltimore, and it covers the Ravens. I'm very impressed last week with the Ravens and one particular stat, which was no penalties. I mean, that's tough in a playoff game. Again, with two, you know, physical defenses that were playing in that game, that says a lot too.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking, honestly. The Ravens, this year, much better, in terms of penalties. Going back to, 2009, they were one of the most penalized teams in the league. And at the end of the year, they had, you know, the owner, Steve Bisciotti, he speaks just once a year, and people said to him that day, what would you correct about this team if you could? He said, penalties. So in 10, after Coach having heard that sitting to his left, said, well, we better do a better job of that. So the last 2 years, they've really, really focused on that. And the penalties are way down. And this is a team that's had a huge issue with that over the years. You know, they've had key plays called back in playoff losses because of penalties. So honestly, in the scheme of things, that was huge. I mean, a lot of focus was on the four turnovers, but they have given away playoff games in the past because of penalties. So this is one occasion, and there was very little margin of error in that game, where the no penalties may well have been the difference. And, you know, that's to their credit. That's all you can say. Nice job, and they'd certainly like to see more of that. We'll see whether that happens.
And because Tom Brady gets all the attention on offense nationally, but those of us around here, and I've said it earlier in the show, I think three guys, and I'm going to discount Ridley. I meant to say Kevin Falk, because I think Danny Woodhead, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm, as we affectionately call him up here, and Kevin Falk may have a bigger impact in this game than most people want to believe. The Patriots have a very kind of a sneaky kind of a running game where all of a sudden you look at the numbers and say, where did that come from? Like last week, they rushed for 146 yards. I don't think a lot of people realize how balanced that attack was last week. They passed the ball for 34 times and ran it for 30 times. And especially Falk picking up guys, you know, getting to Nada, hopefully picking up Suggs if he comes up on a blitz. I mean, those could be big time names in this game, believe it or not. Nobody wants to hear that, but I'd be very, if I'm a Ravens fan, I'd be wary of guys like Woodhead and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and Kevin Falk.
I agree with that, and I think the Ravens historically that's the heart of their team is their run defense. That was the Super Bowl team, and it's been that way for years here is the run defense. And look what happened against you. Houston shoved it down their throats on Sunday and really did a nice job. That's a really strong offensive line in Houston. You know, I would look out for those guys next year. I was very impressed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, they're young and got a lot going for them, Arian Foster. So, yeah, the run defense really got gashed pretty badly in that game. So, you know, they're more vulnerable than they've been on that side. And, yeah, they're certainly making it their priority to get after Brady, and they realize they can't just let him sit back there. So they're going to make an effort to pressure him, and that definitely leaves the vulnerabilities there for a running game. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them have a good game at all.
Last quick question about the NFC Championship. And, of course, that game on Thanksgiving night, I believe, was it's a 16-6 in Baltimore win over San Francisco in the Battle of the Harbaugh. So you've seen the 49ers. Who do you like? And I'm sure you were shocked as anybody that that game was as high-scoring as it was on last weekend. How do you see the Giants in San Francisco? What do you see happening there?
I think I like San Francisco in that game. The Giants, certainly, it's a familiar role they're on, right? You know, it looked like their Super Bowl year of a couple of years ago and sort of coming out of nowhere. I saw the Giants play too much bad football this year. I mean, flat-out bad. Mm-hmm. They stunk for long periods of this season. The 49ers have been much more consistent. They came through here on Thanksgiving. I was very impressed. I mean, and that was not their shining hour. I mean, they gave up 9 sacks, and they lost the game, didn't score a touchdown. But they are so sound. They are really, really well-coached and sound team. And, you know, it's all about forcing turnovers and not turning it over. It's old-school football to a degree. I think they play it better than the Giants. You know, the Giants, they played great against Green Bay, no question. They're going to run into a far tougher defense on Sunday. And I think the 49ers will win that game.
All right, John, thank you so much, and enjoy. I'm sure you headed up to Foxborough this week, and if you are, dress warmly. It's going to be freezing, but I'm sure you're used to that. Okay. So,
yeah, thank you.
All right, John.
I will be sure and dress warmly, and looking forward to it. It should be an interesting day.
Okay, John, thanks so much for checking in, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. That's John Eisenberg from the CSN Baltimore.com. Talking about the Ravens. And let's continue on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Here's Todd in Somerville up next with Pete here on Patriots.com. Hey, Todd.
Yo, what's going on, man?
What's up, Todd?
I'm just excited. You know, I'm ready for the Ravens to run all over this Patriots defense. You know, all week I've been listening about how bad Joe Flacco is and how good this Patriots defense is. But, dude, they beat the Broncos. Everybody beats the Broncos. The Broncos lost by like 40 to the Buffalo Bills the second to last week of the season. Yeah, they lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, scoring by 3 points. Yeah. I just don't understand why everybody's all over this Patriots defense all of a sudden saying, like, how good they are.
Well, they've been pretty good against the run all year, okay? And they stopped the number one rushing offense in the league pretty well the other night.
But it's a unique offense, though, Pete. It's not a traditional offense. Ray Rice is going to run all over them just like he did 2 years ago.
He didn't run all over them 2 years ago. See, you're wrong. I just went over the stats. How many yards do you think Ray Rice had against them last year when they were here in Foxborough?
Oh, I said 2 years ago, but last year let's get 100.
What? No, he didn't get 100. He had 88 on 28 carries. Not overly impressive. Okay, so get your facts straight. Number one. Number two.
Why the long touchdown run?
The what?
The long touchdown run that opened up the game like an 85.
That was 2009 in a playoff game. And yes,
that's what I'm talking about 2 years ago.
Well, why is that game relevant to you? Why not last year's game?
Why is a regular season game in week four last year relevant?
Because Welker, Hernandez, and Gronkowski played in that game and they did not play in 2009. Don't you think that's relevant?
Fair point.
A fair point? That's a huge point.
Going back to what you said earlier, the Patriots are giving up 120 yards rushing on the season, and they're playing against teams that are throwing the ball mostly. You know, and all this talk about Joe Flacco, the Patriots give up 300 yards passing. Flacco's a real quarterback. If he needs to throw the ball 20 or 30 times this game, he can do it. If
he can do it. How
successful? Tyler Palco can throw it over this Patriots defense. Why can't Joe Flacco?
Because Flacco does. Have you seen Flacco's numbers in the playoffs?
He
doesn't throw the ball.
He wins.
It's what he wins. What does he win? What has he won?
What do you mean? What has he won? He's won every single year for the last 4 years in the playoffs.
Really? Then like, how come he has?
Just wins.
Yeah. What is he? I'm trying to think what he's won. He's got to the AFC Championship game and lost. He's won a couple of playoff games, like a lot of other quarterbacks that have been okay over the history of the NFL. He has 6 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in all those playoff games. And what makes you think if he has to throw the ball 30 times a game, he's going to be able to do it?
Because in those other games, he's playing good defenses.
What?
Because last week he played a good defense, and you know what? A great statistic, he didn't make any turnovers, so he takes a few sacks. No big deal, but this
really?
Is a good defense.
You know how many combined turnovers do you think Flacco has this year?
This year or last game?
This year.
I have no idea. 20.
Well, see, you don't know what you're talking about. 20? No, more than that. He has 12 interceptions, and he fumbled 10 times this year.
So really not that much more than that.
That's a big number. Todd.
Of course, it's a big number, but in the playoffs,
have you
game,
seen
when it matters,
it? Have you seen? Have you seen this guy? He turns the ball over in the playoffs. I just told you he has more interceptions than touchdowns.
Last week he didn't. I mean, we can go back 4 years. Tom Brady said that
last
game.
Week.
Nobody's talking about that.
Last week.
Last week. I'm going off their last game. You're only as good as your last game, right?
Yeah, you're as good as your last. You think he was good the last game?
I think he did enough to win.
Really?
And I think that I think that not throwing an interception and not turning the ball over says a lot about what they want to do, and they're going to go more to Ray Rice because I think there's a huge misconception on this Patriots team that they can stop the run. Stopping Tebow and that option is a lot different, especially the second time around.
Buddy, go back and look at the numbers. When McFadden was red hot in Oakland earlier this year, he had one run that was significant. He had 76 yards for the whole game. They held him to 2.6 yards a carry. They've done it to a lot of runners this year. You do not know your facts. Go back and look at the box scores at some of these games. I think you're delusional. Now, there's no.
Yeah, but
look,
you also have to realize that statistics don't say everything. When a team is up by 30 points and all of a sudden you have
they
to
weren't
run
up by they were not they were not up by 30 points in some of these games. The Patriots haven't won by 30 points in all these games.
Yeah, because they let everybody back because they let Dan Orlovsky throw 3 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So they're ahead by 28. Points in that one. Okay, so what was the bottom line? Big deal.
The bottom line is, I don't know if you've been a homer your entire life, but this team really isn't that good.
Well, see, when you say, Todd, when you say things like that, you're embarrassing yourself because you're not looking at the whole, you're not looking at the entire defense. This team was number one overall, number one in the AFC in turnover differential. It's plus 17. They were 15th in points allowed, which I know you don't know any of these stats. And in the second half of the season, in the final 8 games of the regular season, they had an NFL best allowed only 7 points in the second half. You are one of those yahoos that gets caught up in net yardage and flash over substance headlines. And you're too lazy to go back in and do the research and do the homework. And all you're going to hear, you're the one that falls into the trap of the Skip Bayless's and the nitwits on ESPN and NFL Network who tell you all these, they try to reach and grasp and say all the really nice thing when the reality is if the Patriots take care of the football, they're going to win this game by double digits. That's what it comes down to. They're a better team. They're a better team.
Tom Brady threw an interception last week. I don't know if they're a better team. They don't have more talent on the defensive side of the ball, and if you take out Tom Brady, are they really better?
That's absolutely. If they take Todd, what kind of a foolish statement is that? If they take out Tom Brady, are you kidding me? You can say the same thing about any starting quarterback in the league. What are you talking about?
Of course you can.
If you take out Ray Rice, I mean, that's a, I mean, if I said that, you'd call me an idiot. Come on, I got to let you go.
I think Ricky Williams can run all over this Patriots defense.
Ricky Williams is going to run all over the Patriots defense, yeah, with a joint in his mouth. See you later, Todd. Good luck. Go back and do your homework. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. I let you go on and on for 8 minutes, but you just continue to embarrass yourself by not bringing up any cogent points. It's same thing. If, but, when, maybe. Take Tom Brady off the team. I mean, you sound like a 4-year-old. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well at Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. You want to give me some cogent or tangible points about how the Ravens can win? Please. Don't give me take Tom Brady off the team and this baby nothing. Please. All right, back with more of your phone calls and more emails after this on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Yeah, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Welcome back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, and I told you I might have a couple of special guests, and joining me is the one right now, Michael Lombardi from the NFL Network. Hello, Michael. Thanks for taking a few minutes here. It's Pete Shepherd in Foxborough. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pete. Thank you. Hope you're well.
I'm well. I know you're headed up here to Providence or Boston, wherever you're landing. But, let me start off. I can't help but get your thoughts about how you feel internally what this Ravens team is going through right now. And do you think it's going to have an effect coming on Sunday because of Ed Reed's comments and he seemed to throw the entire offense under the bus?
No, I don't think it'll have any effect. I think that it'll come down to who executes the best. It'll come down to which team plays with the best pad level, which team tackles the best. I think all that stuff is forgotten. And frankly, I think it probably takes some of the pressure off of Flacco and kind of puts him in an ease position. So I think a lot about nothing, really, to be honest with you.
Joe Flacco, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, I know he's won some playoff games, but his playoff numbers aren't, you know, entirely great. This is going to be, but mentally, to play the Patriots, in his mind, he's got to think, if I can't put up 30, at least we can't win. Fair or not?
Well, I think he thinks his defense is probably pretty good, and I think they feel like, look, the Giants won here 24-20. If we play a similar game that the Giants played, we can win. Pittsburgh, you know, played fairly well and held them down. So when you look at it, the two teams that they've lost to, you know, with the exception of the Buffalo loss, you know, teams have been able to play a style that's given the Patriots a little bit of trouble. And I think that the Ravens, we know they don't lack confidence, but I'm sure they feel like they can play that style.
Interesting last week that they could not get a sack on a third-string quarterback. See, that's what worries me, because I think this Patriots offensive line is as good as anybody's in the NFL. They have some great players on it, and they have a lot of depth. And my whole thing is, despite Nod and Cody and Suggs, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to get – if they can't get to Yates, I'm wondering how they're going to be able to get to Tom Brady.
Well, I think that's got to be the huge concern, but not getting to Yates wasn't abnormal. I mean, they haven't gotten anybody in the last month of the season. Terrell Suggs has 14 sacks so far this season. He only has 10 on the road. He has three games with three sacks, and then the other. So it's been a situation where they haven't put a lot of pressure on the passer, and that's got a concern. You go back to the San Diego game. Jared Gaither, a former Baltimore Raven, blocked them extremely well for the left tackle. Phillip Rivers, they put 34 on him. So I think you're going to see more pressure packages, because I think the Ravens know that their four-man rush isn't playing well right now to get there, to get the pressure.
And as you said, particularly on the road, I just think for a team like the Ravens, and I've said it to everybody that's been on this week, 2009 to me is so irrelevant compared to 2010, which is also irrelevant because I think every season is its own separate entity. But at least in those three games, Walker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez played, even though Deion Branch is the one that had the big game. I'm not sure why national media people keep bringing up 2009 just because it was a playoff game when three of the top Patriots offensive studs didn't play in that game. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, he's throwing to Edelman, Maroney, Sam Aiken. I don't think it was a situation where it was Chris Baker was the tight end. So, you know, every team's different. Every year's different. Look, Aaron Hernandez is different right now. Aaron Hernandez today is different than Aaron Hernandez when he played in Miami to start the season. So players are different. Rob Gronkowski's different than he was in 2010. He really didn't have an impact in that game. And the Patriot offense is different, so it's going to come down to the players that the Patriots have that can make plays, and Tom Brady protecting the football, because the way the Ravens can win the game is if the Ravens can create turnovers like they did before. Terrell Suggs has two interceptions, one of them as Pittsburgh was driving in for a score, like David Harris did last year. To me, that's what it's going to come down to. If the Patriots can protect the football, they will move the football.
I know you got to go. Just one last question about Ray Rice, talking about needing 25 touches to be fairly competitive. Do you think that he's going to get that, and is that going to be enough?
I think they're going to come out throwing. I think they're going to think they got to throw it a little bit, but I think forget the amount of touches. To me, the Patriots have to do two things in this game. They cannot allow Ray Rice to have a big play. You know, he's cut a 70-yard touchdown run against Cincinnati. He's had a big run in a lot of games this year, so he's made some plays, gotten the lead on some people. They can't allow that to happen. So no big runs to Ray Rice, and they cannot let the ball be thrown over their head, whether it's to Torrey Smith or Anquan Boldin, whomever it is, they got to keep the ball in front of them. No big plays. If the Patriots make the Ravens get in 13 or 14 third downs, they'll win the game.
All right, Michael, thanks so much. I appreciate the time. I know you're catching a flight. Thank you so much, my friend. Have a safe flight. Mike Lombardi from the NFL Network is joining me here on Patriots.com. You want me to go back to a break, or do you want me to keep going? Keep going? Okay. Let's stay on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, which I have a lot to get to. I promise I'm going to get to them. Let me just get Melvin off the Ace Ticket Hotline. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hi, Melvin.
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
I'm doing fine. How's everything with you?
Man, I'm great. I just listened to that, the call before that. I think that's, like, completely irrelevant. If you take Tom Brady out, are you serious?
Well, he sounded like a teenager, number one, so I try to, you know, I try to let him go. Yeah. I try not to do, you know, what we used to do on sports radio, which you really have to limit to people 2 to 3 minutes. So I try to let him make some tangible points, but all it was, you know, I'm a home and this, that. I deal in facts, and the facts are – and the stats are, I combine everything. I don't just take one set of stats. I look at the whole big picture, and the whole big picture really what it comes down to. If both teams play well, the Patriots are the better team, they're going to win. That's what it comes down to. And I just don't see Baltimore competing on the road. They have to prove it to me because they haven't done it yet against a good team.
Right. I agree completely with that. Yeah, like I said, and Ed Reed calling out, you know, the offense, he better be worried about Gronkowski and Hernandez. That's his problem. He doesn't need to be worried about, you know, the other side of his body. He has enough problems on his hands, especially with those two tight ends.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how much those guys blitz, if any, because, like I said, I think it's a little scary that they could not sack the quarterback last week. And granted, Arian Foster was the big guy in that game as he ran the ball right down their throats, and that's why I think the Patriots' rushing attack could be pretty underrated this week going into this game. But if they couldn't get to the quarterback last week with some of their schemes without blitzing, I'm not sure how they're going to do it against Brady this week. And that means bringing up Ed Reed to blitz, or it means bringing up the linebackers. It means that there's going to be a lot of wide open guys for the Patriots.
Right.
And I think Brady is going to I think he's going to pick him apart at times in this game, not the whole game, but at times, especially with the hurry up.
I think so. I think so too. You know, just to make a couple points. Well, would you think that, you know, maybe this could be still a setup that they would just step and say, "Oh, I need the ball 25 times," you know, just like Ray Rice said. And do you think it's more of a play action thing? You know, try to dump it over the linebacker's head, that they'll be keeping spy on them. You know.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's possible. I think, you know, again, last time the Patriots played Baltimore was 2010 here, and Ray Rice touched the ball 36 times, 28 carries, and 8 receptions, and the numbers were not overwhelming. They weren't overwhelming. Rushing the ball for him, he had 88 yards, and catching the ball, and he had 21 yards or something like that. So not overwhelming.
Right.
But like my guest just said, and what John Eisenberg said earlier from CSN Baltimore, is that you look what happened in some of those road games this year, where Rice did not get a lot of touches. They got killed. Especially that, and then that game in Seattle, which was totally embarrassing. He only had, I think, 5 or 6 touches in that game. So, I guess it all depends on the score. And that's why I think it's imperative that Baltimore stay in this game early for the first 5 to 8 minutes and weather the storm. Because if they don't, it could be a long day. And I'm not saying the Patriots are going to win by 30 or 20 or anything like that. But if this Baltimore team falls behind early like Denver did last week, they are dead meat.
Right. I think so, too. And then, you know, once you eliminate that, then you would eliminate Ray Rice from running the ball, and now you're going to depend on Flacco, you know, just to throw deep balls. You know, because Flacco really needs that running back combination, you know, play action passes or dump offs or something like that. If you eliminate that, make him go start going long and getting him, you know, I would say uncomfortable, then I don't think he's a good enough quarterback, really. And they're so one-dimensional with these long streaks. They just long streaks down the road. I just don't see them. I think the Patriots are a far better team. Look, I'm not being a fan here, where I am a fan, but still saying to that aspect, I think they're a far better team, and I'm just not buying this Baltimore defense. Like, I live in Tennessee, and I went to the Tennessee-Baltimore game, as a matter of fact, and they looked absolutely terrible.
They did. If it wasn't for two botched punt return, they would have lost that game because they were dominated for the most part. And the way that Foster, that's what I'm saying, the way Foster ran right through them, the Patriots have as good of offensive line, if not better, and I think more depth than Houston's does. And last year, I mean, Woodhead had a pretty good game. He averaged 6 yards a carry. I think the combination of our three running backs, Woodhead and Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, I'm not sure you're going to see a lot of Ridley this week because of the two fumbles. But Kevin Fox certainly is going to be in there to block any blitz coverages that they may expect, and certainly he can carry the ball and catch the ball. I mean, I think those three guys, I'm saying it for the entire planet, better be ready for the law firm, Danny Woodhead, and Kevin Flock, because they're going to have an impact in this game.
Right. I believe so, too. And now, can I say one more thing about
the
NFC map? As far as the NFC game goes, I know you said that. As far as the Patriots game, a 27-21. I would say it's not really something close.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say they really have 14, probably. Then they score last second touchdown, probably within 2 or 3 minutes ago. I'd say we have them beat almost the whole game. I don't think it's close.
All right.
I think they make it look close towards the end, but I think the Ravens are done.
All right. What do you like in the Giants Frisco game?
Giants game, I would go with the Giants. I think that San Francisco, if I looked at the stats, you know, I think that, you know, everybody's on this 49ers defense, that would be the perfect team for us. I would love to play San Francisco. Love it. I would absolutely love it. They have an offense, you know, the tape, that, you know, of course, our defense is a little bit weaker, well, a lot weak according to our offense. Yeah. They have so many three and outs. Mm-hmm. Alex Smith, I mean, oh my God, he's terrible. I mean, and
well, he wasn't terrible last week.
Yeah, he wasn't, but you know, but I don't have to say that, you know, I mean, how dependable are five turnovers and three long streaks
of
Vernon Davis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't win in the playoffs consistently
no.
with throwing 70-yard or 20-yard streaks to Vernon Davis. You know, mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, he's going to take away your best player. I can just about guarantee that 9 times out of 10, he's going to take away your best player. I mean, but he was absolutely – the two games that I've seen him huge, Pittsburgh and their last big game last week, mm-hmm. you had to throw to Vernon Davis to make those big plays. And he was throwing – he made two or three. You can at least say it's maybe five. He did not make a consistent amount of passes to beat somebody, especially streaks, man. I mean, just a go. That's the only thing he's almost – in a corner, you know, in the kind of a crossing route in the Pittsburgh game, but I'm not buying into San Francisco's offense. I think that, you know, five turnovers is and you barely beat them.
I know.
They had five turnovers.
I know. Yeah, especially the fumbles. The fumbles were the killers. It wasn't like San Fran put up all these like unbelievable defensive schemes that confused Drew Brees. Yeah, a couple of times, but they lost three fumbles. Same thing with the Giants. The Packers lost three fumbles and they dropped 6 to 8 passes. You take two of those fumbles away and a couple of non-drops and it's a totally different game, but you can't do that. So, you know, the Niners and Giants both did what they had to do. They took advantage of the turnover situation, which is why, you know, you always say in the playoffs, the team that takes care of the football the best usually wins the games, regardless of talent.
Right. Like I said, I mean, everybody's getting on the Niners' boat, but I'm not buying the three streaks to Vernon Davis winning you a Super Bowl championship. I mean, you have to have some – they were in a full body left. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a quarterback runs to the left. And they almost shot a flea flicker last week. I mean, come on. What type of offense is that? I mean, that will not work in the playoffs on a consistent basis. And if they're playing somebody like that and you have these three and out and you put Tom Brady back on this field, which they would, we would shred them to pieces. It doesn't matter who we would shred the 49ers up. So I would love to see them. But I think the Giants are going to – I think it will be a rematch. I'm really thinking it will be a rematch.
All right, Melvin. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Call back next week. We'll talk to you then. Thanks so much. Melvin in Tennessee here on Patriots.com. I got to get to some of these emails. You might have to come in and reset this again. But let me read the first one. Danny says, "Hey, Pete, I'm so over the whole we haven't beaten a team with a winning record crap. That's all you hear. And I thought I heard someone saying next year's schedule is already out. So if you do you have it? Also, if this game is out of hand, I have a bad feeling someone is going to try and do something dirty. That's my only concern. And one last thing, my gut is telling me Chad is going to have one big play that will make an impact. A handoff to Aaron, pitch it back to Tom and hit Chad for a touchdown. I just have a feeling that's how he's going to get involved in one playoff game and one play in the game. All right, buddy, have a good one, Danny." Let me just make sure here. Yeah. I'll get to my Facebook page, too, while Kevin resets. Email at webradio@patriots.com. Lots of good Facebook stuff. Margo says, "Pete, don't argue with fools because they get confused with facts. Even the Ravens themselves said that if they play as poorly as they did against the Texans, they won't beat the Patriots." Margo also says, "P.S. Todd is just repeating what he hears on ESPN and NFL Network, particularly verbatim. He's a parrot that can't think for himself." Well, I know that. I could snuff that out. I think Todd was a little young, but, you know. Young and inexperienced. Young pup and inexperienced. Give him a pass. Guthrie says, "Hi, Pete. It's Guthrie from Kansas. So just wanted your thoughts on how McCourty being used in the safety position has really helped out these last few weeks. Oh, and one more thing. I told my girlfriend not to put sparkles on her nails for this week's games. Love the show and your passion. Keep up the amazing show." Yeah, the sparkle thing is to that Green Bay fan who was crying that we played yesterday. It's still on my Facebook page somewhere. Yes. As far as McCourty playing safety, yes. Well, I think, I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I think you're going to see more of that this week. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much the cornerback he actually plays. But got to like what you're seeing so far. The fact that Chung is back and Spikes is back is just so it's big on defense. It's a lot bigger than people want to believe. That don't understand this team. I'm not talking about Patriot fans or Patriot Nation or people in New England, but outside, it's really much bigger than people think. Hey, Pete, I was listening to EEI today, and on Dennis and Callahan's show, they had a clip of some radio presenter from Baltimore ranting and raving about all we do is win over and over. The response to that is he's just trying to be an emotional fanboy like Pete Shepard. What do you think of this? Also, you look at the big picture and not get caught up in stats, unlike these clowns who are impossible please with not winning with their not winning the right way crap. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm glad DNC found the time to mention my name. Yeah, the guy in Baltimore picked the Ravens 37-3. I'm not picking that kind of a score, and you know that's all well and good. But if, like I said, I replied and I said, look, if those guys, I don't have to apologize to anybody for my analysis. I do my homework. I don't just look at two papers and whatever. And as far as what John Dennis ever thinks about football, please give me a break. I mean, I've said that time and time again, even when I was over there, so I really don't give a crap. Doesn't matter to me one bit. I do the research. I watch the games. I watch the film. I break it down. I know what's good and I know what's bad with this team for the most part. I think over the years, since I was at EEI and now here, I think I've been pretty accurate. I mean, I've been off a couple times, as everybody can be in the NFL, but I think overall, I try to go much deeper than what the obvious statistics are and just try to break the games down. And you got to look at the schedules. You got to look at teams, who they play, offenses, what kind of streaks people were on, and not just get caught up in ESPN and NFL Network type of headline stats that so many of them are just completely one-sided. That's all. But there's not a lot of guys that can do it. Mandeep says, I listen to the podcast religiously. Can't listen live because of the time difference with the UK. Unfortunately, you do a great job. So glad when your show got extended. Got extended to 3 per week. On the John Rook Show, they were saying that most listeners want to hear you versus all the other Patriots.com hosts in a heated discussion of all things Patriots NFL. Please make it happen. It would be radio gold. When the PFW guys go at each other, it's amazing. The only thing missing is you. They're going nuts with them. I don't know if I want to get involved with 4 guys yelling at each other. That's a little much. It was tough at EI doing 2 and 3 sometimes, but 4 is a lot. I don't know if 5 really makes sense. Let's see. Brent says on Facebook, hey, Pete, I drank the Kool-Aid on this defense. I think moving McCourty to safety helps us out so much with his speed and tackling ability because he won't be beat over the top. And I think that they have figured out how to maximize the talent that they have. I think with all this and the best quarterback ever, I think Patriots win 37-17. The last time the Ravens beat us, we didn't have the big linebackers we have now, and they're built to stop a running attack like Rice and Flacco and TB in 2012. And again, when you say the last time the Ravens beat us, it was 2 years ago. Last year, the Patriots won. Let's see, who's up next? Jeff on emailing me at webradiopatriots.com. Hey, Pete, firstly, you the man. Love the show. Over the last few weeks, all I can think about is a show of yours from earlier in the year, around week 8 or 9. We had just suffered 2 back-to-back losses, Pittsburgh and the Giants, and there were more bandwagoners than ever jumping ship, which is fine by me. Get out of here. I couldn't believe how much talk I was hearing about the Pat season being over and that the Bill Belichick and Brady era was over. It was sickening, and you called them out. It was beautiful. I'm going to go back and find the exact show, but it was something along the lines, everybody is all worked up for no reason. There is nothing but BS from bandwagon fans and uninformed reporters who have know nothing about football. Mark my words, the Pats will pick it up, possibly go undefeated for the rest of the season and make a run for it. Man, you called it, and I was happy to finally hear someone talk some sense. Looks like you were right again. Keep up the great work. Yeah, I said it back then. Kevin knows. I said it after the Giant game. I looked at the schedule and said they're not going to lose. Not going to lose. And that next game was going into the Jets, and the whole planet had the Jets, you know, taking over, you know, the passing of the torch from the Jets to the Patriots. And I just didn't understand it because I've just seen it too many times over the years whenever it seems like all the chips are stacked up against them, that they find ways. They always find ways, and they find ways to win big. It's not usually like 23-22. Let's continue with email at webradiopatriot.com. Chad says, the great thing about the media is they've decided all of a sudden that they have the right to decide whether or not this is or that is valuable or not. So basically, all the accomplishments the Patriots D has delivered never happened. 2 examples. Back in the Oakland game, McFadden was the hottest running back in the league, yet against all odds, the Patriots defense contained him, and believe it or not, he hasn't played since. Same thing with McCoy, who was the hottest runner back then, and the entire world harassed this team with the venom slogans that this defense can't stop anybody. Well, McCoy got 30 yards that day. Patriots win 38-12, eating a bunch of bleep cheeseburgers. And, mate, that's some tight pants you got on, Bubba. We'll go down as the most silly quotes of all time. Is that Rex Ryan? Yeah. But thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. And, people want to dismiss them. There haven't been a lot of big-time running plays against the Patriots this year. There have been a couple. I mean, the first quarter in that Denver game we know what that was. It was 167 yards, a complete debacle. But after that, only 86 yards or 82 yards, and nobody talked about it. Got to factor that in, too. Yes, it was a horrible first quarter, but it was a damn good three quarters after that. Jan says, Pete, I almost had a heart attack about 3 a.m. last night. I had turned on your radio show from yesterday to fall asleep to it. After I had fallen asleep, I was abruptly awoken from some girl's insanely sobbing, loud and terrifying voice, which sounded like it was coming from right outside my bedroom window. Naturally, I couldn't figure out what the heck she was talking about. I jumped up right out of bed in a panic. I was completely petrified. I thought, who the heck are these maniacs in my backyard? I was too afraid to pull back the blinds to see who was standing out there. When I finally realized it was coming from my computer from your show, I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't believe my friend Pete did this to me. Thanks for the near heart stoppage, my friend. Oh, I'm sorry, Jan. That was the Packer. We played the Packer fan. I think her name is Casey. Casey and her friend that were very upset about the Patriots losing that game. So I apologize. I just thought it was kind of funny. Kyle says, hey, Pete, so I think people are underestimating the Patriots' ability to run the ball. I know our running game has been inconsistent, but if the Ravens try to sit back and defend the pass, our backs should be able to tear them up. I think the score is going to be close, like 35-28. Keep up the great show Sunday. Can't get here fast enough. Go Patriots. The other thing I heard last night from Ron Borges on CSN, on Comcast, was that the Ravens' cornerbacks are very good. And couldn't be further from the truth. Now, the rest of the defense, they have a lot of names and a lot of great players. Not good players, great players. We all know who they are. But the cornerbacks ain't that. McAllister isn't here anymore. Deion Sanders isn't there anymore. Even though he's at the end of his career. But Ladarius Webb and Kerry Williams are not great cornerbacks. And in fact, Webb and Smith are the only ones with interceptions this year out of the six that they use. I would say that's probably the weakest part of their defense, with all due respect, Mr. Borges, which I don't have a lot of respect for what you say about the Patriots anyway, as you know. But it's not a personal thing. It's about professional. And I think to say that they are very good cornerbacks is ridiculous, because they're not. Because they're not. Simply not. Want to say about the rest of their secondary and their linebackers and some of the guys up front? Absolutely. But don't talk to me about their cornerbacks being very good, because they're not. False. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me. So many emails and more calls to get to when the Pete Shepherd Show continues. Plus, the Xbox picks from my house, which are 7-1. I'll have those and then my two picks coming up. All part of the Pete Shepherd Show on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Ooh, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore, so stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only. Droid.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Gear up for the AFC Championship at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Yeah, we forget. Everybody.
I will always hate the Jets.
now we settled that. Again, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Final half hour of the Pete Shepard Show. Wait till I get, someone just pointed out this to me. Wait till I, because I want to get to your emails first because there's so many of them and they deserve much more credit than what I'm about to read you from a particular writer from a particular network who has somehow, Kevin, believe this, has turned this game into a race war. Yes, I kid you not. Wait till I read this article. I'm not going to say it, who it's from because I don't want anybody to rush to that site. But unbelievable. Gina Daytona, Patriots 31, Ravens 21, Giants 20, 49ers 21, Giants 20. If the Giants win, I will have to watch the Disney Channel for 2 weeks. The game we do not mention anymore will be plastered all over the television. Can you imagine how unbearable that will be? ESPN will drive us crazy, disrespecting us. Can you imagine Chris Carter and Cordell Stewart will be everywhere, and Antonio Pierce alone will talk the Giants a Super Bowl. Gina Daytona. Yeah, that could be a problem. That could be a problem. Let's see. Justin in Washington. Hey, Pete, I'm in the middle of a Patriots playoff fever and loving it. Between you and the PFW boys, I'm having trouble getting any work done these days. Anyway, my question is related to a nagging fear I have and would like to see a Patriots versus Giants Super Bowl rematch in 2 weeks, but the results from our last two meetings haunt me. It seems that Brady and others on the team have some weird vibes or apprehensions towards the Giants, given our atypical performance against them recently. Brady just doesn't seem to be himself up against Eli and usually plays poorly against the Giants, even though Brady is clearly a better quarterback than Manning. Anyway, if this game does happen, I hope Brady and the Pats don't let their history against this Giants team trip them up again. Hope to hear you on the air for the next 2 weeks. You will. Now, I can understand about the anxieties against the Giants the last couple of years. Again, you know, it was a weird game this past year in the regular season. I remember that game was scoreless at halftime, and then the Patriots had the game won. It was back and forth a little bit. The Patriots won, came from behind and took the lead with a couple minutes to go, and then that horrible Sergio Brown interference call. And again, it was Sergio Brown's fault. It was just it was unfortunate. That was like a 39-40 yard ended up being completion by Eli, and that was just, it was too bad because they had, Patriots didn't play great in that game, but they certainly had the lead with 90. It was eerily. I remember I had Peter King on right after that game the next that following Tuesday. The game was eerily similar to what happened in 2007. But again, every game is different. You can't think that way. You know, I could still bring up the Brady throwing for a whole bunch of yards against them to close out their regular 2007 season when they finished, you know, 16-0. But that will have no bearing on if they should play again in a couple of weeks. It'll all be different. Matt is in Bridgewater up next here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Pete. How's it going?
Good. What's up, my friend?
Hey, big fan. I'm glad to hear you again, buddy.
Thanks, Matt. How you doing?
Good. I can't wait for this game to start. I am so sick of hearing some of this breakdown of this game and everyone crapping all over the Patriots defense. Sunday can't get here quick enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's not everybody, but it's a lot of people. And it's what I've said, Matt, before. Is that, I mean, and I'm not sitting here tooting my own horn. I'm just saying you have to do your research. You have to go delve into these games. I know not everybody, not all the fans can do it because they're working, don't have the time, but that's part of my job, and that's what I do, and I enjoy doing it. You have to go back and rewatch. It's essential to have DVRs and watch the games over again. It's essential to go on and look at the numbers of all the teams and who they played and the quarterbacks who were playing at the time and the inept offenses in some cases and the inept defenses in others. You can't just look at net yardage and do these silly flashover substance headlines and think that's going to cut it. I think national media really thinks fans are stupid. There's so much information available out there to everybody now that when they come up with these ridiculous headlines and you see the Rob Parkers embarrass themselves on a daily basis by some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, along with the Skip Baylesses and some others, I mean, to me, it's nuts. I think they really, really think that fans are stupid.
Well, I'm glad you said that, and I agree 100%. So I'm going to say five things real quick.
Sure.
And then
Take your time.
Tell you a stat.
Yep.
Wouldn't you agree that the five things I look at would be, you know, the main aspects of a football game would be offense, defense, special teams, coaching, and home field?
Sure.
Okay, the Patriots, I think, have the check mark in three, would be even in special teams. Would you agree with that?
Yep, I would.
And in those three, I think home field is huge for this matchup. I think the the offense with the quarterback is huge, and I think coaching is huge. Then for a stat on defense, the Patriots at home have allowed in 9 games, if you want to count the playoff game, 16.6 points a game. As far as I know, this game's in Foxborough, correct?
Yep.
Okay, everyone wants to throw that Denver game out? Fine. Fine, throw it out.
No, you shouldn't have to throw it out. You shouldn't have to throw it out.
Now they're at 17.5.
Yep.
Baltimore, away, is letting up 18 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just don't get it. I'm so sick of everyone hating on this defense.
Well,
this defense will play bend, don't break, and they will be fine. Joe Flacco is not going to light this team up. I'm sorry, and I'm so sick of hearing about 2009.
But, Matt, how about the most frustrating thing is that it happened, you know, it's still happening. Even Sal Pantonio this morning, on the, how nobody can possibly bring up 2010, keep throwing 2009 down our throats when Welker and Gronk and Hernandez did not play in that game. Now, that game is irrelevant. Even in 2010, what I'm saying, I've been saying it all week, those three guys played in that game last year, which the Patriots won, by the way, and their defense actually had a lot to do with it. They held Baltimore to 6 straight 3-and-outs from the second half and into overtime at one point. It was a deep overtime, remember, 90 seconds to go before the Patriots won. Nobody's talking about that. And it wasn't even Hernandez, Gronk, or Welker that had the big game. It was Deion Branch that had the big game. But at least those three guys played in that game, and they didn't play in 2009. It kills me how the national media gets away with it, because nobody is there to challenge these pinheads. To deny 2010 altogether, to me, is ridiculous.
Oh, they skip right over it. Some of the analysis blows my mind. You hear Felger. Oh, I'm worried. Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, because they know this is their last go-around. All right, well, using that logic, then every team should be really worried about the Celtics. All right, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis are going to show up to play. I don't care. They don't need any extra motivation. They are what they are. They're going to go out there, and they're going to play hard, period.
No, that's a good point. It's a very good point. But
I just can't wait till Sunday.
Well, Felger thing, I like Mike personally, believe it or not. I think he's a good guy. But, you know, it amazes me how a station like Comcast has a guy host on the air who blatantly hates the Celtics and hates the Red Sox, has come out and said it over and over again. And he talks about other people not wanting to be objective. He's never objective when it comes to those two teams. Never. You know, I appreciate that he's a hockey fan and he's a good NFL guy. But that the hypocrisy of that situation cracks me up.
The other day, Dennis and Callahan broke down the game for 2 hours and a caller brought up the Baltimore secondary.
Yep.
And they knew Ed Reed, and then they knew Webb at corner, and then they were like, oh, yeah. They didn't even know the other corners, and they just spent 2 hours breaking down the
game. Well, no, and that's what I said. That's what I meant. Borges said last night on television, on Comcast, he's like, well, the Ravens cornerbacks are very good. And I'm like, I'm pulling my hair out. I'm like, that's the one part of the defense that's probably the worst. Is their cornerbacks, not their safeties and not their linebackers, but their cornerbacks as a unit. The six that they use, including Kerry Williams and Webb and Smith. Webb and Smith are the only ones that had interceptions this year out of the six that they use. I bet you Dennis DeCallahan didn't tell you that. And that is
they didn't even know who they were.
Of course not, but I expect that. but these six that they have, the six cornerbacks that the Ravens use, that's the weakest part of their defense. I mean, so when Borges says that, that's the other. I mean, I laugh my head off, because I don't know who he's trying to kid. If you know these teams and you've seen them play, that is not the strength of the Ravens' defense. It's their cornerbacks. It's the weakest.
Yeah, I would agree.
But
all right, Pete.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
I just found this last night on the Patriots app, but I'm a huge fan of yours, and I'll be listening all the time.
Well, thanks, and go back and listen to some of the other shows. You'll be entertained. There's no question. Thanks so much, Matt, and spread the word, my friend. Thank you.
I am. All right. Thanks, buddy. I'll call you next week.
All right. Great. Thanks a lot. Matt in Bridgewater, thanks so much for the call. Did I just read this one? Let's see. When I get back to the emails, and I got to get to this article before I do my picks. This is unbelievable. Let's see. But game doesn't have. No, okay. I read that one. Let's go back. Let's see. This is Dustin. Hey, Pete, Dustin from Niagara Falls, Canada, coming in. I was wondering what your take is on people saying that the Patriots have not faced a winning record. Oh, God, please don't let me do this again. Faced a winning record team this year and won, which is true, but I mean, they have blown out bad teams. Do you think this will play a factor in confidence going into the AFC Championship game against apparently one of the best defenses in the NFL? Thank you. Dustin? I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. The problem with the national media and some of the local media who keep feeding you this drivel is that they haven't done their homework again. You have to take into consideration that if the Patriots, the reason why those teams finished at 8-8 or worse is because the Patriots beat them. That's why, number one. You also have to take into consideration when the Patriots played those particular teams. They played the Jets in New York or in New Jersey when they were on the big three-game winning streak. It was right after the Patriots had lost two in a row. The Jets were ready to, remember, pass the torch. Here they come. You know, Rex Ryan's right. Wrong. Patriots went into New Jersey. The Patriots went into New Jersey and won by three touchdowns. And even before that, when they lost to Buffalo, they went on the road to the Raiders. When the Raiders were playing well, McFadden was the best runner in the NFL at the time, and they beat him soundly by a couple of touchdowns and really stopped McFadden. He didn't play after that. Thank you. Then they went into Philadelphia. Now, notice the trend here about going on the road. These are all road things, road wins. They go on the road to Philadelphia. Yes, Michael Vick didn't play, but still, they won the week before. The Eagles were playing for their playoff lives. They jump out to that 10-0 lead. And the next time you even look up at the scoreboard, all of a sudden the Patriots have won the game by three touchdowns. Then they have to go face Jesus and all his fans in Denver, okay? And they have to go through all that hype, block it out. It was like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots didn't even exist that week. They go into Denver. They have a bad 8 to 9 minutes, and then they end up blowing out the Broncos by 18 points. All this stuff you have to take into consideration. Everything. But nobody does. Nobody does. They would have if the Patriots had lost all those games. But just to answer your question again, yes, it's frustrating, and I don't think it has any psychological impact on this game at all. They know what they've done. They have gone into hostile environments this year, and they have not only won, they have won big. They have won big. Let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline real quick. Here's Anthony in Reno, Nevada. Anthony.
How you been?
How you doing, Anthony? Fine. What's up?
Oh, I'm doing well. Hey, I'm a stand-up guy. You know, I want to give you credit.
Okay, about what?
You did a fantastic job last game against the Denver Broncos. You set the edge. Yeah, he didn't get an interception, but he did get a strip sack, and he did a great job stealing that.
He did. That's right. I remember you last week because I remember your child screaming last week.
Yeah, and she is again. She's actually a really happy baby.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
I'm excited right now watching Elmo. That's probably what.
Oh, of course, Tickle Me Elmo. Nothing better than that.
Yeah.
My wife and I play that game every Saturday night. Tickle Me Elmo. No. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Anyways, I really like McCourty playing free safety or safety, yep, whatever he was playing.
Yep.
And God, I always mess his name up. And the other cornerback,
who, Arrington? Or are you talking about? You talking about Hideabo and the other safety, or Chung? Arrington?
No, the other CB, not the.
Well, Arrington's the other cornerback. Well, not Molden or Nate Jones? Edelman? Sterling Moore. Sterling Moore, you thinking of him?
Sterling Moore.
Okay, yeah, Sterling's done a great job.
His name always slips.
Yeah, well, because I don't blame you because he was a practice squad player for most of the year, but he is really, talk about another guy. I mean, talk about another unsung hero on this team. I mean, he came out of nowhere. He has made some big plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I like the combination where on some plays, depending on what they think the opposing offense is going to run, they have McCourty back at strong safety, free safety, whatever he's playing, I don't know, and they have Moore playing over their CB, and I think that's the best combination because, like we saw in previous games, they did the reverse. They had Moore as the safety, and they kept McCourty, and they didn't do as well. Especially when I saw McCourty close down on some dive plays when they were trying to stack the play with Eddie Royal coming around and taking the pitch.
Yep.
So I think that's something positive to look at, not only this, but the next, you know, season. And I just basically wanted to be a stand-up guy and, you know, say, hey, you did a great job on Kolejnikovic's game. He did a great job on so many aspects of the game and really helped stop the run and put pressure on Tebow. And I just look forward and forward to beating these Baltimore Ravens, who Terrell Suggs, every time I see the guy, he has this stern face and he's looking like he's about ready to go off someone. And I just want to shut him up and get that little face off of him.
You know what, Anthony, though? He has been shut up and shut down. And it wasn't just last week against Houston. He's had some games where he has disappeared. There's no doubt about it. You look at the numbers. I mean, he's had some spectacular games, no question. He's a great player. He's not a good player. He's a great player. But he has disappeared in games, and he disappeared last week. He was not around.
It's like he's giving a stern face like he's going to intimidate people, and it's like, no, these are grown men that you're going to go against who have, you know, played great talent throughout their whole football careers, going back to high school or whenever. They're not going to get intimidated by your looks at what you're saying and all this stuff. It's good talk and everything, but it's not really going to get you anywhere. When it comes down to playing the game, it's who outmuscles each other, who outsmarts each other, and who has discipline to play right at the crucial times in the game.
All right, Anthony, thanks so much. I got to move on to my picks, but thank you so much.
All right.
Call back next week, and we'll talk about hopefully the Patriots going to the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
All right, Anthony. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Again, I want to get to these emails, and I'm not going to get a time, but I'm going to recommend everybody. I just got to read this one quick line from this. I'll get back to the emails, and then I'll do my picks. This is one of those shows we could do like for 5 hours, 6 hours today. I'm sure Kevin's not too thrilled about that, but I'm just going to give you – this is – and you know Jason Whitlock, and everything with him is race. It's a race war. Everything's a race war with him. He's on Fox Sports. If you go to Fox Sports and click on Jason Whitlock at some point, I'll just give you a little snippet of what he says. First, he goes on and on about Magic and Bird. And he makes this whole thing, Tom Brady versus Ray Lewis, into a race war. Now, I don't know about you or anybody else. I've never, has race even been a factor in any of these games? I mean, it's just so, it's so fake. It's so fake. I don't know what this guy's trying to do. So, here, let me just read a little snippet from it. Despite the non-inflammatory words coming out of the Baltimore locker room this week, the Ravens still don't like Tom Brady and still believe the league and referees favor the Patriots. The Ravens are winless against the Patriots in the regular season, thanks in large part to highly questionable Patriot-friendly officiating in 2007 and 2009. In the minds of the Ravens, the Patriots are the sneaky little suburban team that is celebrated for winning three titles despite bending the rules. And he has parentheses, Spygate. What a freaking tool. There's fueling the Baltimore locker room. It's mixed with jealousy and pride and ego. Brady and Lewis want to define this era. The pass-happy rules have been stacked in Brady's favor. Lewis knows this, and therefore he knows what he has accomplished as a defender is even more impressive. If he can add second Super Bowl title to his resume, he'll take a strong claim to the NFL's greatest defensive player of all time. A fourth Super Bowl ring would put Brady on the same level as Joe Montana and distance Brady from Peyton Manning. Well, he already's done that. He's already distanced from Peyton Manning. The stakes are high this Sunday. This is unbelievable. Brady leads an offense built in his image. In a league that is predominantly black, Brady directs a high-flying offense that is predominantly white and relies on a deep cast of white playmakers. Oh, God almighty. Unbelievable. Lewis leads a defense built in a brash image. 9 of the 9-11 Ravens defenders are African-American. To compensate for Baltimore's inconsistent offense, Lewis's defense not only takes risks to create turnovers, they take even more risks trying to convert those turnovers into instant points. Not sure what that has to do with black or white. The cliche is styles make fights. This is the ultimate clash of styles in football cultures. This is Magic Showtime Lakers racing with the basketball for 94 feet versus Larry Bird Celtics, brutalizing an opponent on the defensive end with elbows and cheap shots, and demoralizing the same opponent on the other end with precise half-court sets. Brady versus Lewis. This is better and more significant than Brady versus Manning. The quarterback duels are a reality TV creation, a byproduct of rules being influenced to keep our attention. Soon the TV networks will be telling you that Brees versus Rodgers is better than Brady versus Manning. On the basketball court, we may never see anything as compelling as Bird versus Magic again, and this is likely our first and only shot at seeing Brady versus Lewis on the biggest stage they can share and enjoy. I love Tom Brady. Other than John Elway, he's the quarterback I respect the most, but I'll be rooting for Avon Stringer and Weebe. The Wire is my religion. Oh, my God. That is utterly embarrassing. I mean, I just like, don't you have anything better to come up with than that garbage? Jason Whitlock, a race war. And, yeah, you know what the sad part is, Jason, is that he'll get put all over the television for this. He'll get put all over the television for it. What a disgrace. What a freaking disgrace. I'm going to get to my picks in 1 second. Hi, Pete. I'm a listener. This is from Ricky. I'm a listener from Motherwell in Scotland. Listen to your podcast every week. Listening to you live tonight, I've been following the NFL from the end of last season and have really started picking the game up and loving if the Patriots are my team. Would like your thoughts on the Pro Bowl. Don't you think it's a little crazy when they play it before the Super Bowl? What happens if one of the players who are in the Super Bowl gets injured in an insignificant game? Basically, it's a show game and end up missing the showcase game of the year. Many thanks, Ricky Graham. Love the show. Ricky, my friend, I know you're new to the game. They just started playing the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, maybe not obviously to you, but just, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. What happens is if the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, hopefully they will be. Anybody that's in the Super Bowl, they don't play. The guys don't play in the Pro Bowl. They don't do it. They used to have the Pro Bowl the last game of the season after the Super Bowl. Either way, my friend, it's the worst all-star game of the four major professional sports in this country. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, it's the worst. Because the rules change, there's not a lot of tackling. Most guys don't feel like going to Hawaii, believe it or not, as glamorous as that sounds. Guys don't go. They really don't care about it. And that's why, believe it or not, Tim Tebow may end up there, because he's like a second alternate. A guy, one of the worst rated quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, is a second alternate for the Pro Bowl. So trust me when I tell you, it doesn't mean much. And nobody on the Patriots or San Francisco or the Giants, if they, whichever teams get to the Super Bowl, are going to be there in the Pro Bowl. Won't happen. Let's see. Hey, Pete, the Ravens fan who just called in is an idiot. Firstly, he kept saying, you're only as good as your last game, and then constantly brought up 2009. Anyone who thinks Ray Rice will run all over the Patriots' D is delusional. Why? The Patriots have been solid on the run, and especially against the top running backs in the league. They held Darren McFadden, LeSean McCoy, Fred Jackson, others under 100 yards. When they key in on a runner, they do not usually allow 100 yards. Ray Rice will not run all over the Patriots' D. By the way, the guy kept saying it's the Broncos' D and does not realize that an option rushing attack is more difficult to defend than a standard rushing attack because you don't know who is a definite rusher. The guy knows nothing about football. Flacco is a mediocre quarterback at best, and it will show on Sunday because the run will not be a suitable option. The Patriots will use a Marshall Faulk-like game plan like when they used it in the Super Bowl against the Rams, and the Patriots will use lots of hurry-up later in the game when the age of the Baltimore D is showing. It will not be a blowout by any means, but Ray Rice will not run all over our defense. Totally agree. Totally agree. Aaron Hernandez was out for the Giants game. Stop using that as a freaking example for this game. Hate how people keep forgetting that. I don't know. Oh, the guy was talking about the other caller that called in. Yes, Aaron Hernandez is not playing the Giants game. Yes, you're right. But he was complaining about the other call, the guy from Somerville. Pete, that's from Joel from Atlanta. Who was that Todd character? He was a spy from the Ravens, I'm sure. I have been following Joe Flacco this past season because he was on my fantasy team. Out of 16 weeks, I only started him one time because he doesn't complete a lot of passes and doesn't put up a lot of yards. I believe the only game where he played like Tom Brady was against the Rams. Yeah, you're right, and that was like in week 3. If the Ravens' defense are unable to stop the Patriots' offense, there is no way Flacco can match Brady when it comes to touchdowns. And last one before I get to my picks. Brian says, Dumerville had 9.5 sacks this season and can't remember the Broncos' other pressure man, it was Von Miller, did nothing against Brady. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. All right, time for my two picks. Here we go. Wow, what a show. What a show. Gather all the women and children and men and pets around right now. Because here we go. And both of these are my miraculous picks, okay? I'm going to give you my parlay of the year. I've waited all year for this. So this will be my parlay of the year. First of all, before I get to my picks, we must do Xbox picks. Xbox from my home, again, 15-minute quarters, games that I simulated, taking into the weather into consideration, the temperature, all the up-to-date rosters and their stats have done it. When I have Xbox Live, it's a great thing. So I've done it all. And I did play 15-minute quarters, because I think if you don't do that, sometimes the scores can be skewed, and sometimes it can be skewed the other way if you play 15. I just said, to hell with it. I'm playing 15-minute quarters. I find that when you simulate the games on Xbox, it's the best way to go. My Xbox is 7-1, picking the winners. All right, not against the spread, but picking the winners. And against the spread, it's like 6-1-1. So it's right there. The only loss Xbox has was Green Bay beating the Giants last week, 31-11. So here you go. Xbox picks for Sunday in the NFC title game. Xbox says San Francisco 39, Giants 7. Wow! That's what Xbox says, 39-7 San Francisco. In the AFC championship game, Xbox says Patriots 52, Baltimore 3. Wow. Again, those are Xbox picks, not mine. And now we get to my picks. Starting with the NFC. You know, it's funny because John Eisenberg of CSN Baltimore, basically, as I was thinking out loud today, as I was saying, self, the Giants are a great story. They really are. Eli Manning comes up in big games for the most part. Every season, I think, is its own separate entity. I know people are trying to draw comparisons to what is happening now with this Giants team to what happened in 2007. And while some of it is similar a little bit, it's still different. And I agree with my colleague, John, and it's, you know, it may be to a fault. But I can't get over the amount of bad football that the Giants played at times this year. I know they're peaking now. But I got to tell you, I think it's going to be a nip-and-tuck game down the stretch. But I'm picking the San Francisco, and believe me, part of me wants the Giants to lose by 50, and part of me wants the Giants to win so the Patriots can, you know, have their silly revenge for whatever that's worth that they play in the Super Bowl. But I've looked at all the numbers. I've broken it down. I'm doing this with my head and not my heart because I'd rather have the Giants win, in my opinion. Be better for around here. Be a lot of fun, except for seeing David Tyree catch that ball. I've broken it all down, and I just can't get over the fact of the bad football, a lot of it the Giants played this year. And while I think Eli will play reasonably well in this game, I do think he's going to struggle at times. It's not going to be like last week. Again, unless San Francisco turns the ball over 5 times. But I'm picking the 49ers, damn it! San Francisco 23, Giants 20 in overtime. In overtime, that is my pick. San Fran heads to the Super Bowl, crushing the spirits of the Giants and their fans, many of them bandwagons fans as of late. San Francisco 23-20 in overtime. And now getting to the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens. Hey, I don't have to tell you, we're near the end of the show. I can't say any more than what I have all week long. Everybody knows the drill, okay? I'm not going to sit here and say 37-3 like the nitwit in Baltimore, nor am I going to echo Xbox's pick of 52-3. But I do believe the Patriots are the better team. I do believe they will take care of the football. And I do believe they will have a handle on Ray Rice. Not shut him down, but they will do a reasonably good job against him, as they did last year when he had 36 touches. The Baltimore Ravens have not faced this kind of offense all year. 2 years ago doesn't mean squat. Welker, Gronkowski, Hernandez did not play in that game. This Patriots defense is much better than people give it credit for, and that Baltimore defense isn't as good as the credit they are getting. Translation, Patriots 27, Baltimore 17. Mark it down. Take it to the bank. Patriots win. They face San Francisco in the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and I'll be back next Tuesday. We're going to talk about it. Hopefully, that's what it's going to be. Patriots at San Francisco, my two picks. Patriots 27-17, San Fran 23-20. In overtime. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Have a great and safe rest of your weekend. Thanks to all my guests this week. Thanks for Kevin Collins for getting them all and producing this whole thing. Great time. We'll talk to you Tuesday at 4 p.m. Win or lose right here on Patriots.com. Thanks to you guys. Love you guys for the passion, the responses, the calls, and the emails. We'll talk Tuesday at 4. Bye-bye. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.